recorded live.
It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You can run and tell your friends that I'm on, I'm on, I'm on, I'm on, I'm on, I'm on. Best believe I understand. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can get more info about this show by visiting our new and improved website. That website is www.householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call in and listen to the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, fellas, this ain't Bible study. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that's it. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is marriage rules that were made to be broken. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you prefer to listen, that's fine, too. And I do still have this. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy. That sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. And, fellas, I'm predicting that there's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. First question of the evening. What or who is the source of marriage rules? What or who is the source of marriage rules? That's the question.
What or who is the source?
Yes. Of marriage rules.
Of marriage rules. I don't know, man. I think somebody just picks up the ball.
Okay. All right. Good words.
I don't think that's discussed at the marriage. Like, who's gonna make the rules, or are we gonna sit down and say, all right, we get ready to get married. Let's put some ground rules down.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
I don't think that comes until later, after you're married. For some reason, I just don't see a lot of couples just saying, all right, here's some ground rules that we're gonna follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't be wrong.
Good words. Anybody else? What or who is the source of marriage rules? I tend to think that marriage rules are passed down from generation to generation. Basically. And with that, next question. Are your personal perceptions of what you should and should not do based on your parents' experience with marriage or somebody else totally different? Are your personal perceptions of what you should and should not do based on your parents' experiences with marriage or somebody totally different?
I think everybody tries to mimic their parents because that's what they grew up with.
Okay.
Anybody I would have to agree with that.
Go ahead, brother.
I said I would have to agree with that. I think good or bad, some, you know, if you grew up in a bad situation, you know, your parents are going to influence you. If you grew up in a good situation, your parents are going to influence you.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Your personal perceptions, what you should or should not do based on your parents or somebody totally different?
Well, I mean, you look at the longevity of it. I mean, it just depends on the person, because some folks will look at the, they may look at their grandparents. You know, the grandparents made it 52 years.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents may only made it one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bypass your parents and go, you know, try to face you, how, you know, ask them questions on how did you and grandma stay on so long? You know, stay together so long.
Right.
I made it 52 years. Mom and dad couldn't even make it four.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work?
Good words, good words. But are some of the marriage rules that have often been quoted as fact proven to be untrue? Are some of these marriage rules that have often been quoted as fact proven to be untrue?
What marriage rules are you referring to?
Well, you're gonna just jump out there and put the horse before the cart before the horse, rather. Yeah, we're gonna get into all the marriage rules, but you know, just one. If you can think of any marriage rule that has been, you know, in your situation, your personal situation, that has been proven to be untrue. And that's for anybody. Quoted as fact, but proven to be untrue.
I think folks may say that it'll be proven to be untrue. Just to the fact that of what society shows them.
Yeah, because do you think the pressure to follow the old marriage rules can be extraordinarily difficult?
Yeah, because we got too many easy scapegoats. If you don't like them, you just leave them.
Okay.
Where in the older age, they worked through it or they stuck together and they accepted whatever it was, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm 100%
right, but you know, I think that the old marriage rules were much better than the flexible "quote unquote" rules we have today. I mean, when my grandparents got married, marriage was for life.
But
you
they
know,
believed in their vows.
Yeah, you know, now I think the same mess, I know the same mess was going on, but divorce wasn't an option. And I think that's a nice catchy phrase that some of us say today, but I've seen people that say divorce isn't an option, and then they want to get a divorce.
Mm.
It's easy to say divorce is not an option until you're under the gun and the stuff hits your house.
What stuff?
What'd you say?
What stuff?
He said what?
Well,
stuff?
You know, there's some stuff. See? You know, you come home early from work, open up the door, and get your feelings hurt. There's some stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that stuff. Would y'all say that, generally speaking, some of the old marriage rules are just downright silly?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, my grandfather, men were men, and men had their place, women had their place, and never the two shall meet. My grandfather would never change a diaper.
Mm.
He would never push a stroller. I'm just, he was very male chauvinist, and, you know, when he grew up, women didn't wear pants.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just a different world. And I hung with my grandfather a lot growing up. We had a two-family house. And, you know, his way was, you know, he'd tell you like it was. You didn't have to like it, and he was the king, and that was the way it went.
Speaking of telling it like it was, I want to get into the first marriage rule for the evening. True or false, fellas? Always be 100% honest.
Well, you get yourself in a whole heap of trouble like that.
I mean, in a marriage, is a no-holds-barred honesty, is that the best policy?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
You got to define that. I mean, comes to you and says, you know, is this dress making me look fat? Well, it's not, but those two double cheeseburgers you ate, well, that's honest.
I would rather hear.
Go ahead.
You call me fat than me tell her, honey, you look great. And then hear later, you should have told me I didn't look good.
Good words. Anybody else? True or false, is always be 100% honest.
What happens after she has those two kids and she says, am I as attractive as I used to be?
Wow.
I'm just putting it out. You think I'm as attractive as that little honey out there?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Or you look at, you know, what about when it comes to being 100% honest? Do y'all really need to share the intimate details of your past relationships?
No. I think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, you asking for big trouble. Not that it means a lot, but it mostly you don't want to get yourself stuck in something that you can never get out your mind. Because it may end up always coming back up in an argument or coming back up in just normal conversation because you can't get it off your mind.
Now, what are you going to say to her when she says, you know what, am I the best sex you ever had? Out there. I'm not saying nothing. Answer that one honestly.
Right.
Because we all know we didn't marry the best sex we ever had. But if you say, nah, let me tell you about Susie. Damn. She had my toes curling. Put it on me. You done bought yourself a world of hell.
Yeah, you might end up, that's probably not the best policy.
It's nice to say we're going to be 100% honest about everything, but you need to learn when and how to shut your mouth.
Good words.
Agreed.
So I think we can all agree that that's a false. Always be 100% honest. That's false. Next one, fellas. True or false? If you fight, you're headed for divorce. True or false?
If you don't fight, you're headed for divorce.
What? You're going to have to expound on that, brother.
If you don't fight, go ahead.
Well,
one of the funniest things that Glenn and I see is we'll meet with couples that want to get married, and they'll tell us stuff like, we are perfect for each other. We've never even had a fight. And I'm going, oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Got to go.
All right, well, if both of y'all agree on everything, then one of y'all isn't necessary. And if you don't have fights, that's not real. I'm not talking about putting your hands on each other in violence, but I'm talking about there's times that y'all don't agree on stuff.
There's two people in the house that are right.
Right. Which two are those? Both of them?
That's right.
But isn't, I mean, fellas, but isn't conflict a sign of trouble in a marriage? Isn't conflict a sign of trouble? Go ahead.
That's a sign of compromise. You know, you got to find a median. But, I mean, that's building a relationship. I mean, if everybody say yes to everything, then what type of relationship do you really have if you say okay to everything, if you're not able to disagree respectfully?
Good words. Good words.
I don't think there's a man on this call who wants a yes person all the time.
Oh, man, that's sick, man.
Yeah, and guest two said, you know, you can agree to disagree.
That's right.
I mean, I think
you
that,
just have to learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you can separate the issue from the relationship.
Yeah, you got to say that again, because I think that's where our problem is in relationships.
We have to learn how to fight. So we separate the issue from the relationship. We have to always protect the relationship because there's no issue that's more important or bigger than the relationship. And when people don't know how to fight, they end up causing damage to the marriage because of the fight. There should never be damage done to the marriage because of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to protect the marriage. But what ends up happening is because people don't understand how to fight and they don't have rules of engagement, one person gets hurt and then they lash out to hurt the other one, and then the other one gets hurt and lashes out to hurt the other one, and you end up, you know, calling names and doing all kind of stuff that have nothing to do with the issue of the argument.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point earlier, brother, and that was, you know, research shows that couples who never fight, that's assuming they're holding back to avoid conflict, they're more likely to split up, couples who never fight. Because somebody, you know, like you said, like the brother said, both people are right. So, you know, it doesn't even matter. But, yeah, so I think we could put a false on that one. If you fight, you're headed for divorce. Let's see.
But, you know, before you move on, there are passive people that actually believe that.
Okay.
That fighting is negative. That arguing is negative, and they would do anything to avoid getting into an argument. So they shut down, bury their emotions, and sweep stuff under the rug. And then one day they walk in and it explodes. Or they go, well, you know what, that's it, I'm done, I'm going to go, you know, sleep with Sally. Because this ain't right, because, you know, I can't deal with it.
Healthy debate makes a mate.
Healthy debate makes a mate. I like that one.
I do, too. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. That's good words. Healthy debate makes a mate. And speaking of healthy debate, speaking of fighting, true or false, you should never go to bed angry.
Well, I don't think I wouldn't say you should never go to bed angry, but you shouldn't go to sleep on your anger.
Ditto.
You shouldn't be mad. I think you just need to stay up and fight. There's a difference between resolving the issue, okay? Because there's some issues you just can't resolve right now, but you can make sure that before you go to sleep, the relationship is good.
But brother, is trying to work through a problem when you're tired and stressed out helpful?
Sometimes it isn't. But you can make sure the relationship is intact. You can say, you know what, we have a disagreement on this issue. We're going to deal with this tomorrow or whatever it is. But you know what, I love you anyway. And you are my wife or you are my husband. And you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to get through it. We'll deal with this tomorrow when we have level heads.
So revisit the issue when you're well-rested.
Correct.
Okay, anybody else? You should never go to bed angry.
One of the things that happens when you go to sleep on anger is it starts, your brain starts to work and the enemy gets to attacking you, and you start bringing up all kind of ammunition to get the fight going on. The next day you get up, don't speak to each other. You go your way, she goes hers. You go to work, she's go to work, and all through the day it's just storming in your mind.
But
is there? You have resolved it the night before, or at least said, you know what, honey? We're gonna talk about this tomorrow. But you know what? It's not bigger than our marriage. I love you, and we're gonna work through this. All that stuff goes away.
But is there a temptation to force a resolution as quickly as possible to get back to that conflict-free state?
Well, why am I doing all the talking?
Go ahead, brother. I don't know.
There's times that I'm ready for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He recognizes that. Okay? And some of those times are not good times to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys ever had a good mad walk worked up waiting for her to walk in the door?
That's not when you want to do it, though.
That's not when you want to do it. Okay? And my wife has seen in me that anger and thought, you know what? This is not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we have a contract that we have both signed and agreed to that we adhere to, and our word is on the line. You know, so this time she's had to pull a contract out on me. And I had to say, am I a man of my word, or I'm going, you know. So there are times it's not good to speak. You know, you need to walk away and calm down, because you'll say things that you don't mean, and it'll hurt the relationship.
So do you think you can turn anger on and off like a switch?
No, I don't. I can't. Somebody might be able to. I don't think it's real anger if you can do that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because telling somebody not to feel angry is like telling somebody not to feel hungry.
No, but you know what? There are times that you can deal with things and times that you can't. I mean, you may have a house full of people, and there be an issue. And that's not the time for y'all to get into it.
Mm. And you can usually tell when you have somebody's house and they're not on the right terms.
Yeah.
But
you know better that than hollering, screaming.
Which is true. But I think to make things worse, we've all gotten so used to the TV sitcom time frame that we expect any problem to be resolvable in 30 minutes. And that's simply unrealistic. You know, because most of the time the TV shows, you know, they, you know, by 28 past the hour, you know, they just finish it all up. But
you see, but I don't think every problem is resolvable. I think that some problems, somebody mentioned it, you sometimes just have to get to a point that we are going to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That compromise mistake, because there's just going to be some things you're just not going to be agreeable with. You're just not. And I can say, for instance, with the kids, you know, hey, one might want, you know, your daughter to have makeup on and the other one not. And that argument just is going to go. So somebody's going to have to make an executive decision. Say, well, darn it, because I said so. I think that's
what Yeah, now that would start a fight, because I said so.
Hey. But when is an executive decision really needed in some situations like this?
Mm-hmm. But can a strong marriage withstand the occasional overnight fight?
Yeah, happens all the time.
Yeah, but you see, you have to define fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all going to bed mad is not a good precedent.
You mean like on a regular basis?
I mean, I really believe that you know, there are going to be situations that are not going to be resolved at that moment. But you can get to the point that you can agree that you love each other and the situation is not bigger than the marriage.
So would you say
there are situations that are not going to be resolved right now? Y'all might be going through, you know, some financial difficulties or different, you know, situations that both of you just don't agree upon. On a way to go.
So would you say a strong marriage can actually benefit from an occasional overnight fight?
Well, like I said, an overnight fight, it could be a 2-week fight.
I don't know about that.
It could be. It could be. You couldn't get things resolved. My wife and I have a couple of layers in protecting our marriage. We call them, you know, putting the gates around our marriage. And the first thing, if she and I can't agree on something, the first thing we do is we'll go to the Word of God and try to get clarification if there's a serious issue that we're in disagreement upon. Now, the Bible doesn't speak to everything. And even the things it does speak to, I'm just telling you what we do.
Right.
Even the things it does speak to, you know, Rodney, you know, I know you're a Christian man. And you and I can read a passage and come to a totally different understanding. And it doesn't mean that you're more or less of a Christian than me or anything like that. It's just what it is. So if we can't come to agreement on that, we also have an accountability couple that we can go to. That either of us can push the button and go, okay, I'm going to bring such and such couple, and we actually have two couples that we could bring in and lay issue out, and we have both agreed that if we lay this issue out and whatever decision they make, that's where we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to protect the marriage. There's no issue more important than the marriage.
You bring an audience in for your debate.
Oh, you mean?
Well, we have a couple. We have two couples that we both agreed upon, actually, before we got married, and we spoke to those couples to be accountability couples for our marriage, that if we have issues that we can't solve, that we will come to them, and the agreement, you know, that either of us can evoke that at that point. Doesn't have to be both of us agreeing, oh, we're going to do this.
I like that. That's a pretty good idea.
So like a moderator.
Right.
Yeah, because I think in that instance, you take the, when you have a moderator, you take the emotion out of it. You know, they can sort of see past the, they can see more clearly the actual issue, you know, and boil
mm-hmm.
down to it rather than, you know, all the emotion tied up.
And we also know that this is a fair couple that isn't taking sides. The only side they're on is our marriage.
Hmm. That's deep.
And that is that's real good.
Yeah, but anybody else? Andrew doing all the talking tonight. What about this rule? You should never go to bed angry. Anybody wanna take a stab at it?
That's hard though. It's hard. I mean, we can say that, but if the reason that you're going to bed angry is because you didn't get some, how you overcome that? I mean, let's keep it real. You know, if you wanted to get some and you couldn't get it, you're going to bed mad. And there's not a whole lot of conversation. You can't fix that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Honey, I got a headache. Can't fix that.
Well, see, what I have found is that usually a situation where there's a sexual problem in the relationship isn't really a sexual problem. There's other issues that are deeper than that.
No, no, no. I'm not saying a sexual problem. I don't want you to read.
You talking about a one off? I'm tired.
I'm just saying on a Monday you want to get some and you can't. You might go to bed a little angry, and you were thinking about it all day, and it didn't happen. You know, that doesn't mean you have a sexual problem. It just means that Monday night you was wanting, and it didn't happen. So you might go to bed a little angry.
I don't consider that an argument. I mean, there's times that I'm tired. There's times that she's tired. And I love her and respect her enough that, okay, that's the way it is. It's not a situation of that's a problem. That's an argument.
Now,
well,
he said don't go to bed angry.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He didn't say argument.
Okay.
And when you do go to bed angry, I want to ask this. This is a two-part question, just along with the line with the brother just said. When you do go to bed angry, the first part of the question is, do you even remember what you were angry about when you wake up the next morning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't
sure.
get no nothing.
You might not get any sleep.
Might not get any sleep if you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to work that up.
But does the same usually go for your wife? I mean, do they forget, they sleep it off and then wake up and say, honey, you know, I didn't even remember what we were fighting over last night.
I think it depends on the person. Because
okay.
some people are good at moving on and some others struggle with it. You know, some are good with just, it ain't worth it. You know, and they'll go on with their day hoping
to have
a better
day. I got to resolve the issue. I can't deal with that.
I usually just take it out on my coworkers.
Oh man. But what about, you know, what about sleeping on it? And I mean, what about making up the next morning? I mean, you talk about you didn't get any the night before. That could be a great quickie in the morning.
Yeah, but you still went to bed mad. So.
Right. And then you take it out on your coworkers. Anybody ever made up in the middle of the night?
You know, yeah.
You know, y'all just went to sleep and said, just forget it. And start snoring away. And then 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, just say, hey. Actually, you don't even need to say nothing. You got to say nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that could work with you or work against you. Because just like Andrew said, there's probably still an issue. And just because you put a little masking tape on it in the middle of the night, that doesn't mean that the issue might not come back up again.
Mm. Good words. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Next rule, true or false? Wives should have sex with their husbands to make them happy.
Yes.
True.
Really?
True.
Excellent. Why? Explain that. Expound on that.
Well, you don't need to explain it, because I said so.
So you basically, you know, they should just, sex should just be another item added on to their long to-do list.
Hey, listen, we'll forget about anything after that. That's when the question you asked, did you forget about it in the morning?
I think if you're doing things right in and out of bed, that won't be an issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
If it is an issue, it shouldn't be an issue.
Shouldn't be an issue.
That's good words. But even still, you know, y'all think that the wives should just do it for the sake of the marriage and the happiness of the husband?
Yes.
We have a lot of agreement tonight.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, let's be honest with it.
Thank you, bro.
You know when the feeling is not there, like both of you not vibing, and in the room. And so that means probably something is on their minds that they want to get out. And they'll just do what they do to get over with. And just so you can say, I'm happy. But they're still unsatisfied. So, you know, you got to get down to the root cause of what the world is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still okay with it.
So you okay with chore sex, as they call it? Is
better
it over
than
yet?
No sex.
He says better than none.
That's what I mean. I mean, from a guy's point of view, I believe that's the majority of guys thinking. It's like, I'm good. But still, you still have a problem, and you still, you know, haven't satisfied that emotional wife of yours.
So you're saying that chore sex is cool with you?
Nope.
What are the options?
No sex.
Oh, that's
passionate
cool.
Sex. Passionate sex is another option.
Oh, well, that's an option. That's definitely a better option.
But how long would chore sex be acceptable? A week? A month?
No, I mean, you've got to resolve the issue.
Hey, man.
Or issues. Because after a while, that gets old.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's been in a doghouse. Don't nobody want to be in that doghouse longer than a week.
Mm-hmm. Words, good words. Anybody else? Well, along that same line, true or false, great sex is essential to a great marriage. True or false? Great sex is essential to a great marriage.
I'd say false.
I would say false to that.
All right.
False.
Go ahead, brothers. Why would you say false? Somebody expand on that. Whoops. Go ahead.
Because we were all lied to.
Uh-oh. Why is that, brother?
We were all lied to, man. Yeah, once you get married, the sex is great. We're all lied to it, so now we know the truth.
Hey, if great sex was what it was about, we would have married that one that you know I'm talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody marry that one? And if you did, you ain't still married to her, or you going through hell.
You're talking about Mrs. Choo Choo Train.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Recognize.
Uncle Motor.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Anybody want to give that a true? Nobody want to give that a true? Great sex is essential to a great marriage?
Well, I mean, it's like a car, man. You got to change the oil in it. Put some fresh oil in there, 5,000 miles. I mean, it'll run forever. Oh, well, but, you know, you can't just keep driving and driving it, thinking that you're gonna get to the destination each time.
Mm.
You're gonna have to, you know, put some maintenance in. Because if you don't, then the maintenance man will come over and do it for you.
Ooh.
Mm. Good words. Good words. And actually, research does show. Go ahead.
I hate to tell you that, you know, just like you said, you know, we didn't marry the greatest. You might not be the greatest to her either.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Now, you said something there, brother.
Now, do y'all really want that 100% honesty?
That's what I was about to say. That's going back to rule number one, Andrew.
That oil change every 5,000 miles, man.
Like, Leroy was bringing it.
And we're dumb and crazy, but he was bringing it.
Asia.
But research does show that couples report a reasonable degree of satisfaction with their sex life, and they said that no marriage No man.
But whoa, that was not your question.
Yeah, I know, I know. I said great sex. That was the question. Yeah. But I said no marriage was ever saved or made successful because the couple simply had a great sex life. And I think y'all got that one, you know, right on the nose. And when asked, you know, how important sex was to the success of the marriage, they ranked it only a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. So,
all right, so what was 1 through 5?
I don't know.
That was ranked 6, and what was 1 through 5?
That's a good question. I want to know that.
You know?
Yeah, they said it was not. They said that finding was on all, you know, on 6 continents of the world. So, well, I think somebody mentioned this earlier. We can get into it now. True or false? You should tell each other what you want in the bedroom.
True.
Explain.
Well,
self-explanatory.
Well, I'm not going to say it's self-explanatory. And the reason why I won't say that is because sometimes we have our own way of satisfying our spouse. Some way that, you know, we've got our own method.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, we may put on the light, dim lights. We may play some Marvin Gaye or whatever. You know what I mean? Or just do certain things that we've done that have worked for us in the past. And then you may have a spouse that just wants to get along, and they're like, okay, I'll go with it. But that's really not doing anything for them. You know what I'm saying? So it's important to find out what they like instead of wasting time. Like a brother once said, his wife doesn't like flowers, but he was sending her flowers because he thought that was the manly thing to do. Come to find out, she didn't even like flowers. You know what I'm saying? So I think that carries on in the bedroom too. That's why we need to talk about what we like, you know, and versus what we can do without.
Anybody else?
I think I'd have to agree with that in a sense, and that, you know, just don't get locked in that one thing, because just like our appetite for food changed, so do the appetite in the bedroom.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, so you can't keep doing the same thing you were doing 20 years ago and expect it to still work the same way.
Yep.
Mm.
Speak on it.
That's good words.
Aside the toys.
But should you show her exactly what you want and how you want it? I mean, is that what you're saying? Because,
yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is that communication is certainly important, but is playing show and tell every time you're between the sheets the best idea in a marriage?
First of all, in a marriage, you're not going to get exactly what you want in bed anyway. It is. Because you didn't marry that girl.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that. Now, why
you
did you marry that girl?
Hmm?
Why
did you marry that girl?
Well, it didn't.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like a puzzle, man.
Well,
you know, you might be good at one thing, but
I think you have to look at another light. Just because I like filet mignon, but I don't like filet mignon all the time.
Yeah.
See, the one question that you got to ask yourself: how did she get so good? That's what I'm saying. You know, if you find out when they just turn your toes upside down, she had a lot of practice.
There you go.
So is that really what you're looking for?
Exactly.
And she's going to keep having practice.
Yeah, you're going to have some security issues, some homeland security issues.
Homeland security.
And you can't even, look, I mean, God has seen it, man. You,
not, not trying to be... Not trying to be funny, because I've had some friends before that was afraid to leave home because of the way their women were.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you run into when you start saying that one. You know what I'm saying? The
mm-hmm.
one that just do everything you want done and experienced and everything. You start wondering, well, how she get that way and what she doing when I'm not around?
Mm-hmm.
Make you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, because them are slick ones. They can be, you know, handling business on the phone talking to you, and you would never know.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I can relate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard that. Tony almost slipped back.
But is it possible that your request can result in more problems than pleasure?
You know, I think that you need to have conversations about what both of you are comfortable with. And whatever you guys are comfortable with, anything inside those bounds are okay. You know, but if there's something that one person isn't comfortable with, then that's now outside of the bounds of an okay situation. And to keep hounding on it, I don't think should be done. I mean, you know, some of y'all, you know, might be into, you know, little S&M. You know, she beat the heck out of you. That's not my kind of thing. You know, but it might be your kind of thing.
Yeah, but what you want to talk about is, look, I just don't want the holiday. I need a little bit more than the holiday. Birthday. I need us to get buck wild.
You do. And that's definitely a conversation that needs to be had.
Because
if it's just, you know, hey, you know, I
that's
get it on the day.
But do, I mean,
well, you know, like the word said, you can't be fasting on your own. You gotta agree to that one. You know, so all that I only do it once every 3-4 weeks or once every month don't work. It don't work for me.
But do you have to consider her mood? I mean, are there some situation when it's best not to tell her what you like?
I think that you don't have to beat a dead horse. I mean, she knows. You know, when you brought the knee pads and left them at the door, she understood.
Well, Andrew, I mean, what?
Why you got to call me out?
I want you to tell me what time it is. What time is it?
Is it time for another one of your questions?
Yeah, it's time. It's a little early. But I think it's time we shift gears and we step into the adult hour, because y'all are right where we need to be. And Andrew brought it up. Another fella brought it up. But I want to ask y'all this. Now, y'all talking about communication, you know, all this stuff, certainly important. But if you know that she doesn't like giving head, should you keep asking her over and over again?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was almost in unison. But you said not to beat a dead horse.
That's not a dead horse. This horse is living. I ain't talking about beating it.
So is that a consensus, fellas?
It goes back to that... You just don't want it, you know, they give you those special occasions. But then you don't want it for 2 seconds either. Here. Like, hold on. I mean, but that is the hardest conversation to have, because one thing men don't like giving up is something that they like.
Especially if they had it.
Hmm?
Got caught up on the okie doke.
Yeah.
But don't you have the right, you know, to a great sex life with your wife?
Man, boy, that word is tough.
All right, I just dropped back in. I got to hear that question again.
I said, don't you have the right to a great sex life with your wife?
Well, it's better than the right with a great sex life with the neighbor's wife.
He's joined us by Comedy Central tonight.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, man. What has affected every marriage on the real? What has affected a lot of marriages that you know from your friends' marriages and maybe some of you maybe first and second marriages is that that satisfaction at home wasn't there. So you went outside or they went outside to find it.
And usually that satisfaction isn't sexual. I mean, you know, we weren't in the basement for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. But most of us didn't have to suffer through that.
Right.
You know, most of us aren't put on that kind of restriction.
Yeah.
You know, most people, you know, are not stepping out of the marriage because they're not getting sex. Usually where there's a sexual problem, there's other issues that really go deeper than that.
Right. A lot of times it's communication that causes it. Or
right.
Just being able to go out and do things.
Or is that going to cause it? With the argument still on your mind and not being able to get through it, where we talked about it in the first hour.
Right.
Now, one thing on the sexual thing, I think that we can't have our wives feel violated. And there may be certain things that make them feel that way. And there may be certain things that make us feel that way.
So you're saying just using honesty as an excuse for being downright mean?
No, I'm talking about sexually. I saw a video my wife showed me. It was funny as all get out, where the wife, we in the adult hour, right? Okay, the wife.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Her finger in his butt.
Whoa.
Banana in the tailpipe.
Okay, and the dude is under the covers, you know, holding his knees up and saying, "You made me feel violated." She's like, "He wanted to do it to me. I thought you liked it." So there has to be boundaries of what we can agree upon, and somebody says, "You know, that just doesn't work for me." Some people like to be handcuffed and whipped. Some people like to be peed on and crapped on. I mean, if both of y'all agree on that and it's in the marriage, okay. Doesn't work for me. You ain't beating me. But this, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, we all say, oh, we down for this and that. But we all have boundaries.
Right.
And we all have boundaries.
A lot of times we forget those boundaries when it comes to the other person.
That's exactly right.
We
okay.
Like,
need to understand what our boundaries are, and she needs to understand what her boundary. We understand what her boundaries is, and once
right.
you get those boundaries out, there's nothing inside the marriage that's off limits. As long as it's within. I mean, I'm not talking about bringing another woman in, you know, or something like that, you know, or another dude in. But inside the marriage bed, you know, it's undefiled. Whatever you guys can agree upon, but we all have boundaries. I mean, I don't think that y'all, you know, y'all want your woman, you know, taking a whipping you. She said, "Baby, this turns me on." Well, don't turn me on. It turns me on if I take a dump on you. Well, I said, "That don't turn me on." Well, it turns me on. Well, that's off limits because that doesn't turn me on.
But there's also compromise, too, though.
Nah, you ain't. There ain't no compromise
when
on that one.
No, there's not any compromise.
You ain't gonna be like, "I'm gonna just crap a little bit." No,
I mean,
there ain't no compromise
like,
on that. For
that's
me,
like I said, that's like being said, "Well, I'm only gonna stick my finger up there a little bit."
Like, okay, I want to jam the little dildo on you.
Hmm.
Now, what if that's her thing, Tony?
The only thing I'm saying is that I'm pretty sure that there's some things that we like that they may not like, that they don't do, but we still say, come on, try it.
Right.
And I know what I'm talking about.
That's right. But you know what?
We say, come on, try it, and they try it.
Where it's, you know, where it's making them feel revolted, then we need to say, okay, well, that's one we got
to
put up.
So your wife doing that to you would make you feel revolted?
What, jamming me with a dildo?
I didn't say a dildo.
Yeah, that would bother me.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean,
it's not bothering you. I'm not saying for you, Tony, there's anything wrong with that. You might like that.
No, I'm not saying I would like that. But what I'm saying is, it works on both sides of the fence.
I know, man. I'm just messing with you.
Now we're kind of talking as men on here is kind of hypocrites, because you got to remember.
Exactly.
But one thing that we just talked about earlier that every man wants is a little bit more oil.
Yeah.
And if she's not
wrong
that,
with that.
If that's in the same boat as this, is doing the
okay, so we got a double standard. Next.
Well, let me flip it around. What if she knows that you don't like eating? Should she keep asking you over and over again? Cricket.
And
it got quiet.
Listen,
that's a problem.
Listen.
Go ahead, Tom.
In this day and age, Chris Rock had a stand up once, and he was talking about women that don't have oral sex, and he called them a Betamax.
A little fellatio.
Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with men. I mean, come on, man. Something like that, that's oral pleasure for your wife. I mean,
I don't think you can expect one without going the other.
Exactly. 16
I mean,
and
you
ain't
going to beat me.
And no banana in the tailpipe. Definitely not there.
I mean, what if that's her thing? What if that's really her thing? What if that really gets her off, Tony?
Well, that means it goes back to what somebody says before. Now you find out how your wife was before you.
Mm. Yeah, what if she busts out the toy?
But see, y'all
but
missing the
but
issue.
But.
The issue is, how about that sort of thing? And you the last to find out.
Y'all
how about that?
Mm.
What's I gonna say to you?
How about you the last to find out that that's your wife's thing? You hear about it at the water cooler.
At the water cooler.
So you out at, in other words, you out at the water cooler and dude be like, damn, your wife still like jamming?
You got to be careful with that, man. Seriously.
Got that right.
So I think we've come
to
be careful what you ask for.
Have boundaries. And certain boundaries we just aren't going to be crossed.
I agree. Good words. Anybody else?
Well, I've known men that would go outside their marriage for oral sex because they weren't getting it at home. And that's all. And that's basically all they wanted.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that works on a two-way street, just so we know. You know, certain things that they're going to want that we may not want to do, but that does not make the want go away.
Right.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just got to suck it up and do it, literally.
I don't know about taking one for the team all the time. But you're in the course of your own bedroom, so nobody has to know.
That's right.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and Tony actually touched on the next rule. True or false?
True.
Always. You didn't even know what I said. Always keep a chick on the side. Andrew said true.
Come on, man. You got me caught up on
this. See? You got to wait. Always keep a chick on the side.
No.
Tony's going to put that onto a call like this, man.
Hey, I'm just asking the question.
This call is recorded.
And you already said true, so you're already in trouble. So you might as well just go ahead.
Hey, Rodney.
Yep.
The answer is no, but you can't keep five chicks on the side with some lotion.
But you, some of them will get that tomorrow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was just
I really believe that we all need a girlfriend.
That was just a throwaway, fellas. But
no, I really do believe we all need a girlfriend.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
We all need a girlfriend.
But wouldn't it? I mean, that brings up a good point. I mean, don't
See,
you
my
want,
wife is still
don't
my
you want your wife to
be
your wife, your mistress, and your girlfriend?
No,
that's right. Because
your wife
you know
is
what?
Your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. But don't you want her to be your mistress too, to do those things on them days that you want?
No. Listen to what I'm saying, fellas. Because your wife was promoted from girlfriend status. And I understand y'all's whole concept, but I actually talked to my wife about it, you know, after it came up a few calls ago. And because I would never refer to my wife as my mistress or my girlfriend. Because to me, it's disrespectful. Because my girlfriends, you know, my mistresses or whatever, back in the day, they didn't make it to wife status. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand what y'all are talking about, but the wife should be all of those rolled into one, but should not be reduced to being called a mistress or a girlfriend.
Well, so I wouldn't call my wife a mistress, but she's always going to be my girl. And I understand what you're saying. It doesn't sit real well with my wife. When I ask her, you my girl? She says, I'm your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but you're always my girl.
Yeah, my wife don't go for that.
Your wife does. But she's always going to be my girl. I'm going to always want to date her. I'm going to want her to send her the flowers. And to me, that's what a girlfriend is. That is somebody that you woo, that you spend time to show affections to and those kind of things. And, of course, she's my wife. But me, I always want that dating stage. I always want to date my wife.
But you just said it, dating your wife. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to change her title to date her. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but why wouldn't she be your girl?
You can't change the title, Rodney. That's done. The only title you can give her is ex-wife.
Wow.
You can't change the title. Whether on Monday or Tuesday, you know, you want to act like she's your mistress and spice it up a little bit, or you want to act like she's your girl or she's your waitress or whatever it is. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right, man.
Change the title. Title stays. She earned that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. You can even get a Mrs. Incredible outfit.
Exactly, and that's what it is for that episode. But she's still your wife,
right?
Yeah, I mean, because you might want to do some role playing,
right? You know, they got all kind of you know, costumes y'all can get,
like the Mr. Incredible, huh?
That's right.
That was actually a throwaway. Here's the real one, the real next rule.
Uh-oh.
True or false, fellas? Never vacation without each other.
True.
True. Well,
thank you, brother.
I don't know.
Somebody got some. Go
I
ahead,
have
brother.
To say false. I would have to say false.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Speak on it.
I would have to say false because simple fact that, you know, like we say, every now and then we do need time. And you know, I take my wife everywhere I go. But sometimes when I got to go home and she can't go home, that don't mean I'm not going.
But that's not a vacation.
That's not a vacation.
I'm talking about laying on the beach in Aruba.
Oh, no. No, you can't go there.
The difference between, you know, we got things we got to do, and, you know, I mean, I just been gone almost a week. Okay. But that wasn't a vacation.
Right.
And I think going on vacation without your spouse is dangerous.
Now, when you start talking about like that, yeah. You know, I'm not going to go and take a luxury trip.
That's a vacation.
Yeah.
And me going to see family is not a vacation. I'm going to see family.
But what if your girlfriend, your wife and her girlfriend once a year go to Atlantic City and go shopping on a shopping spree and they go hang out for a weekend? Just 2 days, Friday and Saturday.
You know, I just think that's a dangerous precedent, okay? I saw a commercial. It was the cutest thing. The father was explaining to the little, must have been about a five-year-old daughter, about sex, and he had two little stuffed animals. And he was explaining, and that's where babies come from. And then the daughter said to the dad, why do people go to Las Vegas? You know, like what happens in Vegas? All right? So if she can do that, you see, I'm falling back to where I was. I used to do things like that. Okay? My wife was like, well, me and the girls, you know what? We're kicking it. We're going to Vegas. I was like, oh, really? Well, me and my boys, we're going to Aruba. I'm going to one-up you. And see, bad things come from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the vacation. That's just trying to one-up. It's bad because you're trying to one-up.
Yeah.
I mean, I get together with a couple dudes from high school every year, and we go and we vacation. We spend about 3 or 4 days. We fish. We do some other stuff, canoeing. We do a little rock climbing. And that's every year. Be honest with you, we drink. We chill out. We just catch up. That's
okay.
It. That's a vacation without my wife.
But, yeah.
Oh.
But
you
got to
say,
so
too, about
the
company
the
that's cheap. Are the people that you're going with on this vacation like-minded with you?
Well,
you know?
Some of them are not. Some
well,
of them are not.
I mean, that's
a choice
that you
really
got to make. I'm just saying, I don't see anything wrong with going on a vacation if all your boys are thinking the same way as you are and are trying to guard their marriages.
Well, you and I both know that ain't always the case.
Well,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you're going with a bunch of single cats, but I guess what I'm saying is there's some discretion in, you know, am I going to take a vacation or am I going to go hang out with other guys separate from my wife?
I think a vacation without your spouse is a dangerous, dangerous situation. And I don't
it is
my
because
marriage.
It leaves too many doors open.
It leaves doors, but the only point that it seems like it leaves doors open, unless you got doors left open and you just walked away with the door left open.
Yeah, really. I mean,
I'm trying to figure out, are you scared of being away from your wife? I mean, that means you're just not trusting the way as far as you can throw it.
That's what I'm wondering, too. Here's the thing. It's like when I leave my house every day, as long as the garage is closed and the door is locked,
because
it's
it can
okay.
happen anywhere. It doesn't. She doesn't
okay,
have
so where,
to go vacation.
Okay, so where is the restriction? Is it okay if she goes on a cruise without you?
If she goes on a cruise and she's with some of her girlfriends and that's what she's doing, I believe and have faith and trust in my wife.
Yeah,
in our situation,
would that
be
okay with you?
I mean, and it's like I'm not. I get what you're saying. Like, I feel like it's a double standard. Like,
me and the girls. You're gonna tell me you'd be okay with that?
Yeah, she has gone. That's not every year like I do with the guys, but she has gone on trips with her girlfriends. But I have a trusted and faithful relationship with my wife, and I believe her. You know,
right.
if I had any inkling of something that would make me feel that way or whatever, then yeah,
I'm
I'd be like, all right, no, we can't.
Hedonism.
You know,
Hedonism 3 in Jamaica and going, you know what, I'm going to be strong. I'm cool.
Well,
I didn't see my boys going down to hedonism.
Yeah, but hedonism is extreme. You know, we're talking about, as the brother said, his wife went to Atlantic City with her girls. You know,
okay,
and,
but he said it would be okay if she went on a Caribbean cruise with her girls for a week.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, I think it all, again, and this is what it comes back to, I think it's all individually based. It's based off of how your marriage is and your relationship is with your spouse.
Well,
I just think that, and for me, that's a dangerous precedent, and I don't choose to go down it.
And for me, I don't trust
for my wife. It's simply that I'm not going on vacation without my wife. And there's times we have to be apart.
The other thing you have to look at is, like the brother said earlier, like-minded individuals. If all the married fellas going out on a vacation, and the married women are going out on vacation, that's a different thing. But if your married wife is going out on vacation with four or five single friends, that's a key to a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when I told my wife, I said, I don't mind, you know, when she got married.
His wife every year was going down to CIAA conferences and telling him he can't go. See, that's a problem for me. Now, I didn't know what they were about, you know, but that would be a problem for me. You know, now some of y'all, that's not a problem, but for me, that would be a problem. I'm not going to go on vacation without my wife. See, first of all, it wouldn't be a vacation.
Well, I could definitely.
I mean, if y'all put together, let's say you put together a men's retreat. Okay, I'll go out there for a weekend, a men's retreat. That's a deal. But that's not a vacation.
Why is that not a vacation?
That's not a vacation. I just had to be up in Delaware for almost a week. That was not a vacation.
But now you're saying your women can't go on, if they want to go on a women's retreat and go shopping, that's not a vacation, so she can't go.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on. I got one. A lot of y'all on this call said that y'all enjoy golf. It's not my thing, but y'all like golf. So if you were getting together with some of your boys and doing a golf vacation every year where you were not in your home state, maybe not even in the country, because you were hitting international courses and getting a chance to play on them, and you were doing it with your boys, that's a vacation. You wouldn't go without your wife.
I would not take my wife. She don't have to golf, but I take my wife. I don't want to be sleeping with some dude.
I mean, golf trip is with the fellas, though.
Right. I mean, it has nothing to do with some dude.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fellas only trip.
Right. I mean, let me chime in on that one.
That would be a vacation. Some of you have said that you enjoy photography. If you were going on some trip or something and there was a bunch of your boys that really enjoy photography and you were about to do that, and it would be a vacation because it's enjoyable. It's something that you like. It's not, not a retreat, a job. It's nothing like that. You have to take your wife?
I wouldn't have to. I would want to.
But
here's the thing. When you start talking about vacation in that
I don't have any guys that I want
to
go on vacation with.
Going out on a golf trip, going out on a fishing trip, going out on a shopping spree, something like that, that's not really a vacation. You're talking about, you know, 3-4 days at the most shopping trip. Now, you're talking about 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that's a vacation.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody jumping on me. We grown.
But when you're talking about, okay, I'm driving up to Atlanta, Georgia, we're going on a shopping spree, we be back in day after tomorrow. Okay, who all going?
Okay, so what about your wife's friend is getting married and they're having the bachelorette party in Las Vegas?
and your wife is
the maid of honor. I mean, did she go or not go?
She did not go.
How come you can't go?
But see, this is what I'm saying, fellas. It seems like there's a bigger issue of just being able to. Is it more of you don't trust them? You don't
trust
them.
Here's the thing.
Out there,
in that situation, you know, it's purely trust involved in all that anyway. If you trust your wife, then whatever she wants to do within reason is acceptable.
And here's the flip side to it. The honest truth is agreed upon. If something's going to jump off, it ain't going
to
be the 2 week trip in Aruba.
It's not going to be the two week trip in Aruba.
It's going to be the dude at the office that she see every day.
My point exactly. That's your wife when she goes away. It's the man that's next door.
Right. It's not about you thinking she's going out to sleep with somebody. That's not even the issue. First of all, it shouldn't be an issue then
if it's not
a vacation without my wife. It's not that I have to take her. It's I want to.
Right. But
it's not a vacation for me if I'm not with my wife.
So you can never. It will never feel like a vacation, and never be a vacation if she's not there. Ever.
I would not even think about planning a vacation without my wife.
Well, somebody brought up the golf trip, and I get invited to go on golf trips every year, and it's kind of bad this year because I haven't committed to any because I've got an agreement with my wife that we don't take vacations apart. But there have been times where I have gone winter golf trips down to Miami, and she's gone. You know what I mean? Because because at nighttime, what you going to do? I'm
that's
not hanging out with the fellas. At nighttime, I'm hanging out with her. We're going to get our party on.
But Tony,
see, that's
Tony.
We were doing. That's how we were doing. We were actually going. I was driving up here to D.C., and we would drive from D.C. all the way back down to Florida playing golf at different courses, but the whites were always invited.
Yeah.
You know, but I have ran into those cats that don't want to take their wife nowhere with them.
Because they got an agenda. Either they have an agenda or they really need time away from their wife.
But, Tony, let me ask you this now. You say you took the wife.
Yeah.
But if y'all didn't have that agreement, would you still have taken her? I understand you wanted to take her, but it's a fellas trip. Would you still have taken her if y'all didn't have that agreement?
No. That was my choice to take her. Like, I would take her again. Because after playing golf, we're going to hang out.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're going
to
get it in.
I don't want to come back to an empty hotel room.
Exactly.
But
ain't no guessing
is,
game.
Okay, okay.
Ain't no guessing game for me after, you know.
A hiking trip and the thing that's what we've done here recently, probably for like the past 5 years. But before that, when, you know, it was, I mean, there's times that you get together and you do stuff, and even now, like it just doesn't end with us fishing or being out or hanging out or whatever. We hang out as a group at night.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we go and we hit some spots, we have a nice dinner, might sit at a cigar bar, smoke a cigar, chill out, have a good time. And it's just guys. You go back to your room, you're tired because it's probably like 2-3 in the morning, and you go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you're not even thinking about, I got to have my wife here to lay up with. I ain't got time or even the energy to be chasing somebody downstairs or doing all that.
Yeah.
I'm really looking at it
that's
as
that's
a big,
the beauty of different marriages.
But, you know,
I agree
with everybody saying that, you know, because I want my wife to go with me everywhere, but I understand I can be a nuisance to her my darn self.
Yeah, because you
don't
have to be each other's everything.
If she wants to take one trip a year with her girlfriend
for
a weekend. I mean, I'm not saying 7 days. No, she
a weekend.
She is over here 7 days. But
I mean,
if they want to just go somewhere for a weekend, I'm like, good, go.
Go,
I mean, get away from me. I know your work schedule. I know how stressful these kids get you. I know how I get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to go hang out with your girlfriends, go do what y'all do.
I'm going to give y'all the perfect example. I'm going to give y'all a perfect example. This happened to me actually this weekend. My wife and kids left, and it wasn't no vacation. They went to see her mom or whatever for the weekend. And I had to stay back because I had stuff to do here. So, you know, literally, I was miserable. You know, I had no purpose. You know, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what can I do? I can watch what I want. I can eat what I want. I can do what I want. I can when I want. You know, I can. I just had no purpose. So, you know, the wife gets back, and you know, I'm happy to see him or whatever. But I ask her. You know, I tell her my situation. I'm like, I was just miserable. I'm glad y'all came back. You know, because then I had purpose. You know, I'm actually interacting with my kids and talking to the wife. And, you know, it was just great. So I asked, I was like, well, how would you have felt, you know, if I, you know, took the kids and just went for the weekend? And, she said, I would have loved that. I would have got some books from the library, and I would have just enjoyed my time. And she genuinely would have, fellas. I mean, it wouldn't have, if I had came back early, she would have been, what are you doing back so early? I mean, she would have literally had had a great old time just by herself,
That right there is just a difference of what do you utilize your time to do. In that situation, I'd have probably been out fishing the whole time she was gone or playing golf. And she came
my
back.
Whole thing.
How did you enjoy yourself?
I'll give you an example. My wife went to Cancun without me. All right?
That was
on vacation to Cancun without me. And I was miserable.
Were y'all married?
Yeah.
He said his wife.
Wow.
The last
time.
She went on a vacation 2 years ago without me, which I sanctioned, paid for, and encouraged. Because she wanted to take a vacation with our daughter, just mother-daughter, never done it. And before she graduated from high school, she wanted to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's legal, man.
All right. I'm glad she did it. I wanted her to be able to do it. I encouraged it. I booked the trip, the whole deal. Okay. she had a good time. You know, I was here, and I'm kind of lost without my wife. You know, a week without my wife here is not a normal situation. You know.
You said something magic though. You know, a week without our wives at home is we're lost because the thing it isn't normal in a sense because when my wife goes away, like if she goes to Virginia to her family's or wherever she goes at for a week, I'm ready for her to come back home. You know, when my son is out of town for a week or so, I'm ready for him to come back home because I ain't got my homie to talk to. You know,
I was just up in Delaware for almost a week. We find that time where we used to being able
to sit down and talk to our wives. Now we don't have that time, so we miss it. And it sometimes is good. All right, it's good to do that from time to time because it brings you back to a reality sense.
Yes, it does.
Because,
and
my uncle did it for years. See, check this out.
Yeah, it's a tough deal, but hold on, Andrew.
Go ahead, Rob.
Check it out. My uncle for years took my aunt for granted. And, you know, she's here. She's always going to be here. I ain't worried about it. She ain't going nowhere. I can go play golf all week long. It don't make no difference. You know, she at home where she need to be at. Well, one year she decided she wanted to take a vacation up to Massanutten by herself. You know, because my uncle had used his time to go golfing. So she went to Massanutten. So he drove her up there to their timeshare and went to pick her up. But he found out when he was gone, he didn't know what the heck to do at home. You know, he's sitting up like he come home from work, ain't no sandwich made, ain't no soup made. He get home, you know, for lunch, ain't nothing on the stove. He ain't got nobody to talk to. He was miserable. And he told her when he went picked up, he said, "You are never going on another vacation without me, and I will never, ever, ever go anywhere with my golf buddies if you can't go."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, because it became, yeah.
If you invite them and they don't want to go,
then that's different. The offer has to always be on the table.
No, it doesn't.
Speak on it, P. Speak on it, P.
Look, here's the thing. I'm not going to say that it's either or. I'm just going to say we can agree to disagree and we're both right. But the fact does not have to always be on the table. It's not that type of party sometimes. It's a time for me to get together with some other guys that I grew up with in my life that I knew before I knew you. And all I'm doing is getting together with them and we're hanging out. Everybody's married. Now, everybody might not be in the best marriage. There's some people. I mentioned my boy. You know, Craigslist and fine women. He's in the group. But that's not the type of party that it is. We know that we are there just to catch up, and it's our time. And there's no invitation on the table for her to come. There's just not.
Say that.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's just because here's the thing. I think, like, somehow, some way, we get conditioned into the fact that we have to include them in everything, and
right.
They have to be a part of everything. And I am no longer, there's no me without you. Yes, there is. There's a me without you. I can do it, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that because the fact is I'm a good man. I'm going to continue to be a good man. I'm going to come back home, but I'm going to need to go and just get this time to re-up, refresh, rejuvenate, or whatever. It's once a year for a short amount of time, and you don't have to go.
So what if it's twice a year?
If it's twice a year, you know what? If it ramped up to twice a year, it was once in the summer, and then we did it again maybe in the fall. If it's twice a year, okay. I mean, but the fact is that if there's 365 days and 14 of them days I'm not with you, 14. It's 2 weeks worth of 14 days I'm not with you. I would hope that you could hold it together and hold it down. Kids in the house. And if you needed to go and do something like that, so be it. I mean, the fact is that what it comes down to is that I think we touched on it earlier. is the fact that this stuff allows you to really, because honestly, I'm going to tell you what happens. And this is honest truth. We get together, we sitting out there, we fish a little bit, we've done a little hiking, we sit around the campfire drinking, feeling a little crazy and good. Who do we end up talking about and saying that we miss? Our wives.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that's all we're doing. It's not like we out there like, man, I sure hope the Sasquatch comes out and it's a woman because we can jump her. No. That's not even what we're thinking about.
Let me ask you, are there any limits on what you can do?
In the marriage, don't you want to get away and refresh your own batteries?
Yes.
Don't you want your wife to get away from you and refresh her batteries?
Yes.
But see, that's why I say that it's something that you may want to include, you know, at least once a year, because it gives you a greater appreciation for each other. For one, because now you realize that 360 something days out of the year, you may have taken that other person for granted somewhere along the way.
Mm. Not if you was with them. You're not taking them for granted if you're with them. If you're spending all your time with them.
Yes, you can.
How y'all do it,
man. Yeah, because I just say that, you know, I think you have to, and this is a difficult one, fellas. This, you know, as the brother said, we're all right, because, you know, you have to break down what is a vacation, then you have to break down, you know, who you're going with, then you have to break down the length of time you're gone. I mean, it's a difficult one, but I'm going to agree with, multiple guys, because I think that if my wife wants to go, as the brother said, go on a shopping spree and do the weekend thing with some other married women or whatever the case may be, all her friends are legit anyway. She don't have no single friends chasing dudes at the bar, so it wouldn't be a situation. It'd be legit women, so they go. Let me help you pack your bags, honey. You know, mm-hmm. Do your thing, because we don't have to be each other's everything.
You're contradicting yourself now, Rodney. You just contradicting yourself.
How am I contradicting myself?
Because you just said, let me help you pack your bags, but a minute ago you was telling the story how you didn't know what to do with yourself when she was gone.
Hey, but I let her go. You know, I literally helped her pack. I wasn't like, well, I'm not going to know what I'm going to do. And on the flip side, I was psyched. I was like, oh, yeah, I can play Connect all night. I can watch what I want. I can go grab a pizza. I can not have arguments between. I was psyched. So it wasn't like I was, you know, just dreading it. I was like, yo, you know, I knew they were going, but it wasn't like that I was dreading them going. I was excited. And then when they left, I'm like, man, what am I going to do with myself?
Yeah, but because I agree with when they do leave, you're so psyched that you get bored.
Yeah, exactly.
You sit up in the house and don't even put no clothes on. Cause, you know, you're just in the house.
Yeah.
You might end up calling them two or three times just to see how they doing or whatever. But, you know, it gives you more appreciation than what you got.
Yes. Absence makes the heart grow fond. Bottom line.
When they gone, you know what you got when she gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think about your wife more. It makes you think about your relationship.
Yeah, the same. Having an affair has the same effect. That don't mean we got to do it.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, but you got to be well-minded. I mean, you're going to have an affair if it's the girl across the street.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an affair if it's the girl at work.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have an affair regardless of, that's your mental, that's your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to do with, and it goes back to one of the shows that we have is control over
obedience.
You want to control your wife. Everybody on here basically was saying, I want you with me all the time on every vacation, is you want to control the situation because you're there.
Bingo! Mm.
No, that's not for everybody.
I don't agree with that.
Just like Andrew said, some of us like being with our wives, period. There's no ifs, ands about it. There's no, I want to control, I want to watch you, I want to have a camera on you, I want to be there. No, I just want to be with you. I'm married now. And that's some of us, it's just that simple.
But I like being with my wife, too. But
yeah,
I don't like being with her 365 days out of the year, either.
Right. I mean, if I get 14 days, it's just me. I'm okay.
Or my kids.
That's good.
You know?
Like that.
I think the part of it also, fellas, that makes it kind of boring and stuff is the fact that, again, we've surrounded ourselves now from being married with other married couples. So, therefore, if you're by yourself and your wife and your family and kids and everybody's gone, if you want to hang out, you want to do things, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that your boys, wives, and families are gone, too, so you can actually have somebody to hang out with. They got their families and stuff still in town.
Right.
They've got all their family dynamics still happening, and you just sitting there. So, yeah, they might be able to catch you for lunch. Yeah, they might be able to catch you for dinner, but then they got to get home.
Yep.
Because their family's still there because you've isolated yourself in your entire life now with only married people. So, well, the dynamics is gone.
Yeah,
I wouldn't single friends,
I wouldn't
you can't get out there and be like, oh, you know what?
I got to disagree with that. Okay.
So, you might have some single friends, but you definitely don't hang out with them because you know Jason will have you at the street.
No. What I mean by that, when I say, you know, you say you isolate yourself with married people the whole time, so now that your wife is gone, you don't have anything to do. I would have to disagree with that because a lot of my married friends, we all hang out together. So it'll be times where, you know, my wife is not here, and I might say, hey, man, let's go shoot some pool. And we go hang out, shoot pool all night, or go bowling or whatever the case may be, and the wife ain't there.
Women.
Their life ain't there. It's just, you know,
that's
what
he
said. You do that. He said, but after that, then what?
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, you still got to come back. And it's not going to, I don't know if it'd be all night. You know, I know my wife.
It ain't going to be all night.
It ain't going to be all night.
She's going to be like, all right, now I know his wife out of town and stuff, but your wife is not. You need to come home.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets kind of crazy, and you do kind of find yourself getting bored because. Everybody, we all said it. I mean, it's not like we go on any trips with single dudes when we're traveling or we going on things or we taking our wives with us on trips or not. So when you're there by yourself, when Rodney said he gets bored, he got a little bored and he felt like he missed him a little bit because everybody that he probably hangs out with when his wife is in town are married couples.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when they're gone, I mean, he can only do so much. And then if you got all this, like you got all this freedom, but you have nobody to hang out with. Because you're not married.
And I was literally thinking that, P. I was like, who can I call? Who can I call? And then I'm like, nope, he's working. Nope, he's married with the kids.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm running down the list. I'm like, well, it's just me and the TV and the heater and the refrigerator. I mean, it was just, I'm in here by myself. Like, whoa, what is this?
Exactly. And I think that happens more to men than it does to women. Because the honest truth, I think when sometimes women, they do their own thing. Like you said, your wife was like, yeah, I would love it. I get some books.
Yep.
Women will function just fine.
Yep, just
because
fine.
Because women really value and relish the fact that they don't have to worry about no kids, calling the mama and ask them questions, cooking nothing, us bothering them. They'll do just fine. It's us that usually have isolated ourselves in so many different ways that we don't even want to really be by ourselves. There's only so much grass you can cut. There's only so many things that you can potentially patch up in the house before you're just like, yeah, you know what, I'm really bored at this time. There is nothing going on. And that's why when I say we go on the trip all together as guys, no wives, and it's just us, we're all wiveless. So we can really make sure that we are interacting, connecting, reminiscing, and doing all that stuff together. It has nothing to do with us about getting out there and trying to find women or do this or whatever. It's not that type of trip. It's not like we're going down to Rio de Janeiro, you know, looking for some type of tip drill or something. That's what it's about.
And that brother said something profound, fellas, because he just said, as I gave you all an example, how my wife would relish two days by herself with books and just hanging out and, you know, sleeping on the couch and taking a little nap or doing whatever she want to do. What about your wife? Maybe she don't want to hang up under you all the time. Maybe she's never told you, say, hey, actually, you could go on the golf trip by yourself. I'm just saying. I'm not saying she has, but I'm saying that that's a possibility.
Well, they wouldn't be allowed to. Like, it sounds like they wouldn't be allowed to, and I'm not saying that to be sending anything. It just seems like y'all have made an agreement as a couple, and that's why I say everybody is right. You made an agreement as a couple that you will not travel or vacation without one another.
Yeah.
So, therefore, it wouldn't even come up.
Yeah.
But the difficult part is if they decided to change their mind at any point, if you decided to change your mind at any point, could you do it?
Right.
I mean, could you have that conversation and say, you know what, I know for 15 years we have said that, you know what, we will never vacation without one another. But you know what, this trip actually, the fellas have been talking and we're thinking we're just going to make this golf trip an all-guys trip. Is that possible? Can you even bring that up?
I'm glad.
Yeah,
you
I mean, because
that
it's not an agreement that you won't travel without each other.
Well, wait a minute.
You know,
wait, I'm talking about the vacation.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's not an agreement that you won't vacation without each other.
Wait a minute. No, some of the brothers have said that it is an agreement that they will not vacation without their spouse. So I'm saying is if you got to a point of 20 years of doing that and you said this one time, you know what, the guys, we just want to do this solo. Everybody's married. And this has been a trip you've been taking for 20 years with the same married couples. If you fellas just wanted to go and do it, you couldn't do it. Could you bring up the conversation? Or if one of the guys in the group brought up the conversation and was like, hey, fellas, you know, whatever, would you just have to say, you know what, guys, we've been doing it 20 years, but you know what, I can't make 21.
Well, for me, it's not an agreement that I can't go on vacation without my wife. I don't want to. And you know what? You said, you know, camping or fishing or what. Well, what if you decide you want to go to Rio without her? Is there a problem with that?
Well, we wouldn't go to Rio. That's what I'm like.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I wouldn't go to Rio either. I mean, well, I think
that's discretion, fellas.
Why not? What if the fellas just wanted to go to Rio?
No, that's just discretion.
Hold on.
You got
it. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, that's not even an option. With something like that, no, you can't go to that.
Why is that not an option? What if you just like being there with your boys?
Because of what goes on down there.
So
right.
What?
You set yourself
your marriage,
up. I mean,
you don't
that's,
have to worry about that.
Well, say again. I'm sorry.
You just said that the problem is the dude across the street or the woman over the water here. You know, so why not Rio?
Well, Rio just, yeah, that's just too much.
He got a point.
Everybody got to know their limitations, and you just got to sometimes just say, you know what, fellas, we're not going to Rio.
Let me just say this, because this is good.
And he's trying to take the
wife to Rio. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, P-Town, because when you both have time off, I mean, I wouldn't, and don't get me wrong, I would naturally prefer to spend it with my wife. My best friend, better than any of my boys. Don't get me wrong. But at the same token, if that golf trip, I don't even golf, but for example, the golf trip or just, you know, just hanging out with the fellas came up, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal and it goes vice versa for her, you know, because, again, I think that sometimes we need that space. You know, we need that space between each other. And, you know, I just want to roll this into the next rule, and it's along the same lines, but it's a little bit different, and it can happen actually within your same household, and that's true or false. Never sleep in separate beds.
That's 100% correct.
I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine.
I've seen it happen. I mean, you know, you see, that was something that was older that. You've seen old couples sometimes sleep in separate beds.
Permanent doghouse.
Not permanently, but there are some times where you do need to sleep in separate beds. There's been times that I've been, like, seriously ill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good. I mean, hey, it was just one of those things where I was like, hey, dear, you know what? You're probably going to catch it anyway, but you don't need to catch it, like, violently. Like I've got it because I'm breathing in your face or right in your.
Yeah, but that's a different situation. That's not sleeping in separate beds. That's
well,
what
I mean, right. That goes back to the doghouse. If she put you on the couch,
that's right, or the guest room, that's right.
You know, I mean, how you get? You got to get yourself out of that situation.
Well, you might do that for one night, but that's it.
Well,
you
know, I don't know about that. You know, that's my bed. You want to leave? You leave.
Yeah, that's no good right there. Especially if you got kids in the house, that's a very, very bad signal.
If mommy go to one room, daddy go to the other room, say goodnight.
Yeah, because the first question is, what's wrong?
You better bring a sleeping bag in the bedroom.
Yeah, sleep in a chair. Sleep in a chair.
Now, listen, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I have never done it, but I've done it because I had some human birth control pills that jump in the bed when they were little.
So your kids would take over the bed?
Look, man, they come in the middle of the night, just jump in. Next thing you know, you're falling off the edge of the bed. I'm like, man, I'm gone. I'm going to
help. I've done that same thing. My grandbaby come up and this and that, and she's not in her bed, and I don't want her kicking me in the gut.
But that's different because
that's
you know, it's not out of anger or anything like that.
Right.
You know, you're not sleeping in separate beds because we're mad at each other. You're not sleeping in separate beds because this is just what we do every night. That's a circumstantial thing. You know, there have been times where, you know, I done went in the other room and laid down watching TV because I don't have a TV in my bedroom. I don't put one in there. You know, and I done fell asleep. My wife didn't come wake me up and say, get in the bed. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I come get in the bed.
But, you know,
I'm asleep. She don't wake me up.
But there, I have seen where couples live in separate rooms. And
yeah, that's a problem.
And due to the fact that they're not getting along, but due to financial reasons, the guy, you know,
it's
the guy
still staying there.
Stays in the guest room.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, and I don't think that the occasional sleeping in the guest room, that's not a big deal. I mean, as we said, going to bed angry, it's been some nights where I'm like, I ain't sleeping in here. I'm going to the guest room where I got a TV in there, too.
I've done the same thing.
You know? But, you know, then sometimes in the middle of the night, it's like, are you coming to bed? You know, I'm like, no, I'm still mad. You know what I mean?
I would just stay downstairs until about 2, 3 in the morning, wait till she sleeps, just go up there and get to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And P-Town, and y'all know that we want them to come get us.
Uh-huh.
We're setting them up, like, yeah, I'm going to be in here. I'm going to be watching TV all night, you know, I'm night owl, playing for whatever. We know that we want them to come down the hall, come downstairs, and be like, come on, dude, are you coming to bed? Come on, come to bed. You know, and then sometimes, like my man say, when he sleep, and he sleep, then she don't even come wake him up. He's just gone, so.
Yeah. And I ain't always the one that's leaving my bed either. Sometimes I say, why don't you go there? How about that?
Oh,
I mean, I can get out of there. My wife be like, okay, you want to leave? I'm not coming to get you. I tried that. It doesn't work.
Good words. Well, y'all brought up something else, too, with that. You know, and here's another rule that y'all might like. True or false, always put the kids first.
False.
Why is that false? Somebody expound on it.
False.
Somebody expound on it. Why is that false?
Because the kids don't become before the spouse.
Kids don't pay any bills.
The kids
have no money.
If you always put the kids first, where are you going to be when they leave the house?
Exactly. Kids have no say-so.
Wow.
Okay.
Kids can't make an executive decision.
You're raising your kids to leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, that can't happen. No. I've said this many times on the call, fellas.
Well,
I just feel like I'm just tired of it always being everything else is ahead of, some ways, the husband or the man of the house. I mean, it gets kind of crazy, you know, if the wife ain't happy wife, happy life. You know, crap like that is just annoying to me, where it always has to be based around somebody else's happiness. When do, as Chris Rock said, when do I get the big piece of chicken?
I just got to lay together
and a wing and try to make it big. Let me get the breast.
I think somebody brought it up at the beginning of this conversation is that in the heydays, in the older days, that's how it was.
Right, man.
That's how it was. The man got the first plate at the table.
Mm-hmm. Things would have been nice to keep.
You know, he got everything he wanted. If everybody else was miserable, so be it.
Mm.
It was his way or the highway.
Internship.
I mean, because I'm put like this. When I was growing up, I didn't eat until daddy got through eating.
There it is.
Wow.
There it is.
You know, if we didn't sit at the table together and eat, my dad had already ate.
Wow.
And if it was four pieces of chicken, I may have gotten one, he'd got three.
Yep.
Mm.
If he didn't want that extra piece, then he'd offer it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I look at it this way. You know, you can't put your kids first because how would you feel if your wife put the kids before your happiness? In other words, you know, okay, I'm unhappy right now, and there's some things I want to do,
But and your wife know you really want to do them.
But because the kids come first, you can just keep on being unhappy. And
that's horrible.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
You know, it
no.
Work.
And that doesn't work because by the, out of the sheer setup of the situation, you and your spouse hopefully are going to do your very best to make sure that the kids don't have any needs, wants, or anything like that. You're going to do what you need to do in order to take care of them. But the fact is that because of some families and some people do that, I got a boy whose wife said, oh, my goodness, those kids get everything. And this dude is practically miserable. I mean, it's just evident. You can see it. He is miserable. And it's one of these things where it just becomes that you got to work. As adults, is more important than taking care. Because you're going to take care of the kids. You're going to do that, hopefully. I'm not saying that is a given. But it takes more effort to work on really saying, you know what? I know she can do everything for herself. She's capable. She's got multiple degrees. She's employed. She's bringing in income. It's things that I need to give her.
Here's the thing, though. And this is where the rule comes in, okay? Here's the rule of my house. My son does not come before me. If my son needs something, it's not going to be a sacrifice. She's not going to sacrifice my happiness for my son. I'm going to be the one to make that decision. If he needs a new pair of shoes and his shoes are still workable, then I'm going to be the one to decide whether or not I'm going to sacrifice on my end and go, you know what, baby, don't worry about it. Go ahead and get him that pair of shoes. And I'll get me something next time. But it's not going to be one of those where he needs some new shoes, and there ain't nothing wrong with the shoes he's wearing. So you can't get, you know, I'm not going to make you happy. I'm going to make him happy because he wants. Because we all know a child is going to want all the time.
Yep.
You see, if the wife is putting the children before the husband, there's going to be a major problem in that house.
Right.
Yeah, there is.
And vice versa.
You know what, that internship would straighten all that out.
The children do not come before the spouse. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't times that you got to sacrifice, and you know we men are called to do that. Most of the time we agree, okay, this is what we need to do, and we make that decision, and that's what our call is. And most of the time we would rather take care of our family than take care of ourselves.
Right.
But for a woman to put the kids in front of her husband, that's going to cause major problems.
Right, and especially in those situations, 9 times out of 10, that might be a little high. 7 times out of 10, you won't really care if your wife is putting the kids, kind of ahead of you. But when you respectively open your mouth and say, hey, you know, tonight, actually, they're going to be all right, and this is what we're doing, and she's got some reason or some excuse, oh, that's just going to make things get magnified and intensified. All them fives is going to happen.
Well, you know where that actually is problematic, fellas, and all of y'all can relate to this. When you have a newborn, you know, I literally talked to my wife about this, and that's when we, you know, had a little bump in the road when we had our second child because she was up all night, and I was up with her, you know, and I'm just like, I'm tired and cranky and all this stuff. And then, you know, when it came to her needs, and she's a newborn. You know, I knew a lot of times where I'm gonna be put to the back burner. But you know, I talked to the wife about it, and she was like, "I literally have difficulty with keeping you my number one priority." I mean, she said that. You know, because when you got a newborn has needs.
Well, see, that's different. You talking about a newborn.
Yeah, but still, I told her, Rob. I said, "I'm still number one."
Yeah, that,
I don't care how many kids we got. I am still, you can't, you know, just move the blocks, just take me down for a couple of years to notch number two or three. I'm always number one because I was here before them.
But
that's how I feel, too.
I would look at her, where I would look at you being put out of that number one spot sort of would be like, say, okay, she up all night with the baby.
No, she
and
was
you
not.
Wake up in the morning,
yeah.
You wake up in the morning and it ain't no breakfast. Well, you got to understand because she was up with the baby all night, she let you sleep.
Right, and I respect that, but I'm just saying that I should never be removed out of number one. You know,
I got a question for you, okay?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, you going to work?
Yes.
Is your job a priority over your wife?
No.
No, but there's responsibilities that you have.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean that your job is more important than your wife, but sometimes we have priorities at certain times that we have to take care of. That doesn't mean that job is more important than your wife.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's times when situations around the house, there may be times that my wife needs to spend some time with our daughter. That doesn't mean my daughter is in front of me, but there are times in our life that those things happen. I mean, you know, my wife's dad is very ill. All right, and there's times she has to take care of that. That doesn't mean he's number one and I'm on the back burner, but I have to understand there's priorities at certain times that have to take precedence.
Good words. Because, I mean, the bottom line, you get your marital relationship right, good things will follow. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're right.
On both
sides. Yeah, you want to raise great children.
You don't, the bottom line is if you don't feel loved, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, because if you want to raise great children, you know, you'll nurture your own marital relationship first and foremost.
That's the most important thing you can do. The best thing you can do for your kids is show them that your wife is number one. The best thing that wife can do is show those children that the husband's number one.
And
let those kids start thinking that they're running the show, you got a problem.
Yeah, that's the internship the brother was talking about.
It is. Get your foundation right.
There you go. And I'm going to throw this thing in reverse really quickly, you know, and I'm going to take it back just a tad. And it's along the lines of what y'all were talking about before with the vacation piece. But true or false, couples should sync up their hobbies.
Oh, God.
Killing me. So you golf, you're going to golf with me, baby.
You are killing me.
You bowl, you're going to bowl with me, baby.
You are killing me.
Yeah, we doing what
nice,
I'm doing.
I don't agree that you have to sync up your hobbies.
Come on,
okay,
man.
My wife loves to make cards and jewelry. That ain't never going to happen with me.
Next thing you're saying, we back in it. We got the same sweatsuits on.
I mean, you know, that don't work anyway. Because I'm going to tell you, I tried that before in a shit. You know, I was always going fishing, and my wife would always complain. I said, well, baby, you want to go fishing? I'll take you fishing with
you. That means you're about, miserable. Go ahead.
After about 2 hours of putting the worms on the hook and taking the worms off the hook, taking the fish off the hook, I told her she'd never go fishing with me again.
Hey, but mom, I'm gonna go ahead. isn't it true that the more time you spend together, the better your relationship?
No.
No,
no.
What?
No.
Who is making these rules?
Rodney. I got him off the internet.
Rodney, we
need to get
these rules together.
That is not a reliable source.
You need to get them rules back.
That's why we're going through them one by one, and I got four more. But, I mean, literally, I mean, but can the desire, so what y'all saying is the desire for too much closeness can inadvertently drive a wedge between the husband and wife?
Well, I'm going to give it to you plain and simple.
Individual people.
I'm going to give it to you plain and simple. Too much of anything will drive a wedge.
Get it?
But isn't that ironic, though? I mean, you, the more time you spend with her, a wedge starts to appear.
Well, yeah, because the wedge is taken for granted. That's the name of the wedge. I mean, because
when it's 24/7, 365, anybody would get tired of that.
I mean, that's annoying. It's like my man said earlier, you know, you get an appetite, you crave different things. But if I never get a chance to crave you or want any, that's crazy. Then, I mean, I'm like, all right, well, I didn't add this flavor. It's time to try some vanilla.
Yeah, nobody agrees with syncing up the hobbies. But I think we might have some debate on this next one here, fellas.
Oh, Lord.
True or false? Happy couples should always spend the holidays together.
What?
Happy
impossible.
Couples. Huh? You say impossible? What? Speak on it, brother. Why is that impossible?
You got two families.
Yeah, I mean, you do not always have to. You
want
to
be here.
What?
Yours is 1,500 miles away. Theirs are 2 miles away. It don't work.
Yeah, you don't. You can be happy and spend holidays apart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not trying to be funny. Sometimes you might not. You just might not want to be at your mother-in-law's.
Yep.
Wow. He did say that.
I'm being honest. You
and
know,
it's
like, okay, for me.
Hey, go ahead, baby. Go on home. I'm here for this time.
I took my wife home, and when we went home,
I'm in an environment that I'm used to. She locking doors and rolling windows up, and I'm like, what are you doing? I ain't ever coming, man. I can't come to this place no more. Why? Because I'm home. You know, so we might not want to be around. Or how about that family where, you know, how about the situation where, like, my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
My family is all just out there, way out there. And it's not an environment I even like to be around no more. You know, I'm like,
wow.
I go home, and I can only be home so long. You know, I'm like, after about 4 days, I'm like, yo, it's time for me to roll. I got to go.
But, I mean, fellas, so what y'all telling me that, it's going your separate ways for Thanksgiving, Christmas. Isn't that a sure sign of trouble in paradise?
No.
I don't think that's a sure sign, but, I mean, I'm going to be with my wife on the holidays.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't think it's a sure sign. I don't think it's a sure sign because, I mean, for instance, Christmas we're going to be together, but if you want to go see your mom, we're going to go see your mom. But there may be some situations where, okay, well, my mom want me to come down for this holiday, and she can't go. But her mom's 3 hours away. Well, I'm going to go to my mom's house since you're going up to Texas. Okay,
and that's the same thing. I mean, I've had my parents are out of town, and I've had to whatever certain situations had to go, and Glenn couldn't go for whatever reason. Okay, but it doesn't mean it's a sure sign of a problem. But
right.
I mean, you know, if everything's even or equal, you know, if we're gonna go to her house, her parents' house, or her family's house, you know, I'm gonna go. Now,
because
and there's people, you know, in the extended family that it's not always peaches and cream, but going with my wife or she's going with me because, you know, that's she wants to be with me, I want to be with her.
But the question was, is holiday togetherness a barometer of your marital happiness?
I'm not
talking about just going to see mama and them. I'm talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. I'm talking about the major joints.
But you said always.
Yeah,
right.
Always. That's what you know.
There's no,
and it's not.
Things can happen, and it doesn't mean
because
in a relationship.
That's like here. You look at it and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This year we're going to do Christmas at my house, at home. We're going to do Thanksgiving in Texas. We're going to do next holiday here. Well, the next year we may switch it around. And
what I'm saying, fellas,
might go separate.
You said the key word, we. So wherever y'all go, whosoever side you go to, whether it's 2 miles or 1,500 miles, y'all going together.
Not but always.
If you
because
don't go
we together. we have taken holidays separate.
Yeah, if you don't go together on holidays, it's not a gauge of you on the rocks or something bad to happen.
Right, it's not a gauge.
I don't see it like that.
See, Rodney, you said always. You said always. You should always be together. There's situations that can happen.
Yeah.
Right.
That, you know, you can't be together. But if you're making, you know, if you're making a decision, you know what? I'm not going around your family. You got to come around mine or we ain't going anywhere. Then that's causing some issues.
Right. That'll cause some issues.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, my family is my wife, my children. Okay,
right.
My extended family, yeah, that's my family, but my immediate family is my family. So wherever we are, the family is together.
The holiday is right there.
Good word. So you're basically saying just giving each other the freedom to make your own choices.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, that's the short of it.
You know, there could be possible situations where both sides of the family have something going on.
You got to pick one.
You could say, hey, you know what, you go with that, I'll go with this, and we'll get together when we get together. It's not we have to be together.
Right. Because,
okay?
I mean, it's not like you're going on anything.
We're having a major event. My family's having a major event, and they're 6 hours apart. And both of us, you know, we've been invited to both of them.
Right.
You got to pick one, because y'all are lying to me. When y'all have seen your – wait a minute. When y'all have seen – one of your married family members show up without their spouse. Where's your husband? Where's your wife? I mean, and then next thing you know, they're getting divorced. Y'all know this happened.
Not because they didn't show up.
That's not because they didn't show up. And I think what happens is, you're going to get the questions from your family.
Her family is having an event, and my family is having an event, and they are too far apart to be with both. And it doesn't have to be you have to come here or I have to go there. Our relationship is strong enough. It's not going to cause a problem. Honey, you go do this, I'll go do that, and we'll get together, you know, when we get together.
See, I think y'all should. I personally would go to both events or one event together.
What if you can't? Sometimes when you can't.
Yes, you can. Why can't you?
My family, I have family that lives in Texas. She has family that lives in D.C. There's possibilities that that can't happen.
Wait a minute. I got a question. Because when we were talking friends, it wasn't okay.
Yep.
So anywhere without we talk with family, and it's okay.
But now you want
to be with your wife all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
we
established back then that when that topic was being talked about, that family was different from a vacation.
That's right. And we don't want to be with our wives all the time. We're not at her job. She's not at our job. We're not there 24/7.
We ain't our family's Christmas party.
Vacations. You know what? I'm not going to Aruba and she's staying here. That ain't gonna happen.
Somebody else had something. Hold on, Andrew. Somebody else was trying to get in there.
Oh.
I don't sweat holidays at all, regardless of what happens, as long as we're not playing host.
As long as you got somewhere to go. I hear you, brother. You ain't got to cook or clean up, nothing. You know, it's just like, all right, that was good. We'll see y'all next year.
And see, sometimes that's the decision you come to also.
Yeah.
You know, if it's one of those where I wanted to go to my mom's house this year and you wanted to go to your mom, well, I tell you what, let's just stay home. We'll do something at home.
Yeah, and that's
what sometimes that's the decision that's made. Instead of going somewhere, if you can't come to that agreement, hey.
And you hit the nail on the head, brother. Thank you for saying that, because literally that's what it has to be. It has to be a conversation because that
was like for me this year, I looked at it and said, well, I just retired. We were just getting settled in here. You know, I really didn't have any money to do any traveling. My family in Texas wanted me to come. Her family in Norfolk wanted us to come. And we told them plain and simple, look, we can't do nothing this year. If y'all want to see us, y'all coming to us. I got the food. I got the house. I got plenty of floor space. And Andrew will tell you, Andrew stopped by at a house full of people.
He came for the food.
I told him, come on and eat. and that keeps the peace sometimes.
Yeah.
Instead of going, hey, I don't want to go out here because we went here 2 years in a row, and I don't feel like this year we stay at home.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what, Rob, you said, that you hit the nail on the head, because you have to have the conversation, because I know early in my marriage, we were, we did both events. Now, we didn't do the separate stuff.
You wear yourself out.
Yeah, especially with a newborn. Oh, gosh. And with a small car and taking Christmas gifts everywhere, you're picking up five or six Christmas gifts. And so we did that 1 year, and then, like you said, brother, we were like, well, this Christmas, we staying home. And we started doing the Christmas tradition, as Andrew said, at home, because that's my family now. You know, it's not grandmama and them and my aunts and my cousins. Yeah, I still love them, but literally I have to, this is my family. This is me.
That's the thing. Like right now, the way we doing it now is, the holidays are coming up. Family's coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
If one of my aunts or one of her aunts or her mom or my dad or somebody say they want to come, I would really love to come up there and see, but right now, financially, we ain't. Well, baby, they want to come, but they can't. Well, we'll pay half the ticket. It depends on who it is, and we come to that. We come to that agreement. Well, we'll just pay for half the ticket, or we'll buy your aunt's ticket and get her here.
Yeah.
Whatever we gotta do, but we're not going nowhere.
You can buy my ticket, Rob.
We're the ones. We're the ones with the kids now.
Right. Right.
When I was a kid, everybody came to us where the kids were. So now that the kids in the house. Yeah, come on, see your nephew.
Right.
Come home to your grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, it reverts. You know, and everybody say, well, why don't you come down here? Because my son lives in D.C. right now. And I can't afford to be traveling. Y'all need to come see your nephew up here and your great-nephew. Matter of fact, next month, my aunt's flying up here because she said, you know, we were in Japan for 6 years. I ain't never seen my nephew. Come on
Wow.
up.
Come on over. Yeah, bottom line, fellas, you know, how you spend the holidays, that doesn't make or break your marriage.
What?
You know? And I know one guy was, you know, said that his parents were never apart for Christmas, Thanksgiving, but after 31 years of marriage, they got divorced. So obviously, you know, just being together on the major holidays don't mean much of anything
right.
unless you got the whole thing.
I mean, they can
right.
be together on a major, they can be together on every major holiday, birthdays, and whatever other made up day it is. But what about the other 200 days out of the year?
Exactly.
If they ain't speaking to each other, if they have no communication, if they fighting and fussing and disrespecting each other all the
listen,
time.
Listen, Rob. They fighting. They going to bed angry. They taking separate vacations. They sleeping in separate beds. Oh, wow. Man, I'm on a roll tonight with that one. You know, if y'all were here all night. But, I got three more fellas, and I'm going to get y'all out of
Lord.
Here. Yeah,
hey, man, we're going to fire your internet group once you're done.
This is a good one, though. I like this one.
Okay.
True or false? You deal with her family. You deal with your family, she deals with hers. You
false.
Deal with your family, she deals with hers.
What do you mean? Wait, define that.
Well, yeah, what does that mean?
That means if there's an issue, you know, if there's you deal with yours, she deals
false.
Blood deal with blood. So if there's
false.
A conflict, who said false? Go ahead.
I'll say false.
Go ahead, brother.
If it affects my house,
yep.
I deal with it.
It is.
Yeah. It's
plain and simple.
That's
because, and I will tell you that, my wife will tell you, I didn't close the door on her family. I didn't close the door on her mama at the front door.
Wow.
Because
wow,
I had
still
a,
living. Wow.
I had a standard room. Nobody shows up to our house without calling. Don't just show up at my house.
Yep.
And that was an agreement we both came to.
Yep.
Wow.
So, you know, after a couple of times going, I thought we asked over and over again, please call first. You know, please call first. Please call first. You know, one of those were ding, ding, you open the door, with you, click, close the door back.
Oh,
I went back down. I went, sat back down on the couch, watched TV. We first started a little bit back to it.
Wow.
I said, what if I walk around in my boxers? Then what?
Wow. You closed the door on the raw?
I sure did.
I would say in my situation.
And we never had that problem again.
Go ahead, Pete.
My situation, it kind of be a double standard because I will definitely deal with my blood and I will deal with her blood, but she won't deal with my blood.
Why not?
Now, is that by choice?
That's by choice. I'm not. That's by me saying that because I'm gonna talk to my mom and my family. You don't need to talk on behalf. I'm gonna talk to them. You don't need
but
to talk to them about this stuff and anything that's going on. I can do that.
But that's the thing. If it directly affects my house, if somebody in her house, in her family, say something that hurts my wife's feelings or that places my wife in I'm going to deal with it.
Yep.
I'm not going to wait for her to deal with it.
Right.
Because
wow.
I didn't have to step in on one of those before. I didn't have to step in on one of those before where she had an uncle that would just talk to her anyway.
Yeah.
And she would say, oh, that's okay. No, it ain't okay. To start off with, you my wife.
Yep.
And it's not going to happen as long as you married to me.
That's it.
And once I put the boots down and let them know, that's your niece, but that's my wife now, and
right.
you will not talk to her in that manner.
That's what you got to do.
Everything stopped.
And he never did it again, did he?
Nope.
But I got
out of here. Look,
I've had
short.
To straighten out my mother-in-law.
I may be short, but I'm from the hood. So a long time ago, you know, whenever I was talking, I was packing. So when I spoke, everybody listened.
So Andrew, you said you had to straighten out who?
I had to straighten out my mother-in-law.
It is.
You know, and, you know, it was just some stuff that was going on, and you know, we had to get some stuff straight, and I had to tell her some things. You know, not in a disrespectful way, but this is how it is. You know, and my wife's family, it was kind of difficult because there's no men in the family. And all the men are gone, and the women rule the show. And she had to know, your daughter is marrying a man. You know, and it don't go like that, you know. So,
And
you know, and on the other hand, I've had my wife step in and straighten her family out for the way, you know, some of the ways some of them have acted toward me and disrespected me in my house, where I was like inches away from going off. My wife walked in and said, "You will not disrespect my husband, or you won't be in our house."
And another thing is sometimes what we do have to realize is that families don't push those buttons until there's the buttons are taken away from them.
That I agree.
You know, they don't. Your sister is gonna push as long as she. I had my sister come stay with us for a little while, and a friend of mine stopped by to see her, and my wife told her, she said, "You got company at the front. At the door." And she told her, she said, "Well, send them back to the room." And my wife said, "Oh, no, we don't, company don't go to the room." She said, "You have to go up front to meet your company." And my sister looked at me and said, "Did you hear what she said? She said, I got to go up front to talk to my company." I said, "I go up front to talk to my company. Ain't nobody rolling up in these bedrooms."
That's it, right?
I said, "If you ain't mad, you ain't rolling in the back. That's not happening."
It ain't one man and woman going in the bedroom. That's me and the wife, man. Ain't nobody up in there.
Thank you. You know, and when the question went, "Well, I guess I need to go home. I mean, I guess I need to go back to D.C. I helped her pack a bag. I helped her pack a bag, and before 8 o'clock, she was at my uncle's house and didn't know how to think.
Wow. Good words. Man, this is great. And I think, I was hoping I was going to get some disagreement on that. Because I'm going to disagree. And I'll tell you why. Because some of the best marital advice that I got was the pastor who married me and my wife almost 12 years ago. He said, "You deal with your family. She deals with hers." Because he said, "You are blood. She is blood to her family." And granted, like y'all say, y'all got some situations now. My wife can slam the door on, because I have that same policy. Don't roll up on me and just ring the doorbell, because half the time I'm in my pajamas anyway, you know, or something. You know, if I'm at home, if I ain't going nowhere, I'm comfortable, you know what I'm saying? So, but literally, I would not slam the door in my in-law's face or tell them they need to leave. My wife should do that. And I think we haven't had that particular situation happen, but literally, we've lived by that rule. You know, even if my mom calls and my wife answered the phone, she said, yeah, hey, I wanna, you know, come on up this weekend, you know, because my mom, she will give us months notice or whatever. So, but literally, if my wife has something to do, and she knows she has something to do while she's talking to my mom on the phone, if I'm either there, she'll hand me the phone. If I'm not, she'll say, "I'm going to have Rodney call you back." And I will call my mother back and say, "You know what, Mom, this is not a great weekend. You know, we've got this going on. You know, she's got this to do. We've got that to do." But I will make that call, and I won't let her do that. And we have lived by that, and it's done us well. You know, so, I mean, I'll say that that's true, you know, for me. You know, it's worked for me, but.
Right, and each situation is different. You
yes,
know.
Sir. Yes, sir.
There have been times where she step in before I can step in.
Yeah, exactly. And
you
I
know,
think you got to give them the opportunity, like,
right.
You know, you had a situation like the uncle. Now, if she had checked the uncle, and
if,
then
if
it
she
did, you know, he still.
Mom would never have said nothing.
Yeah. And I think,
you know
we got to give them the opportunity. And then if they still, you know, out of pocket, that's when we come in. You know, but I think first and foremost, and I totally agree with y'all, what happens in your house, you know, and affects you, you know, is definitely key. And you the head of household.
Right.
But, go ahead.
Oh, I'm listening. I'm listening.
I got two more.
I got two more.
Then I'm going to get y'all out of here. Two more. I'm going to dig deep on these two. True or false, fellas? If there's no more spark, your marriage is doomed. A boring marriage is a bad marriage.
Well, it's not never doomed, good.
But you better do something.
Who you say, Andrew?
I said it's not doomed, but you better do something.
Yeah, boring ain't good.
Boring ain't good? Why not?
Good at all.
Boring, I mean, that's just not good. Anything. Uh-huh. Just think about any time you've been bored in your life with anything. And it's just small stuff. You make poor choices. You go off the cuff. You ad lib. Now magnify that to a marriage.
Wow.
I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, think about anything that you've been bored with. You just get sick of it. You throw it to the side. You don't really deal with it anymore. You were picking this up as a hobby. You got bored with it. You don't have it. It's collecting dust. You barely acknowledge it. You're not doing it anymore. The membership expired. Magnify it times a marriage. That's all I'm going to say. It's not good.
Not good.
You better figure out how to go back and do something and dust it off and put some new batteries in it or something.
I mean, that's a proof of fact. Anything that you have no interest in, you have no, it's nothing there.
Right.
Yeah. But what about some women that just like drama? They like a drama-filled relationship to make it feel exciting.
They got issues.
That's not excitement.
They got
you got drama. You got TV. It's not boring.
Oh man, yeah. Because a calm, predictable marriage, you know, I don't know. Some couples equate a calm, predictable marriage to a bad marriage. You know, I think we talk about that all the time on these calls. We can't. We gotta, you know, break up the monotony, break up the routine. You know, same old, but. Last one, fellas. Last one. True or false? You can't change each other, so don't even try.
True.
You can't change each other, so don't even try.
True.
I would have to say true.
True without until you try to change me.
Say again.
I agree with that until you try to change me.
Right. I agree. Got issues right when you try to change a person.
I think it's true, but this is what I think. I think that you need to respect each other's differences, and if you're able to truly do that, then changes will happen.
Agreed.
I mean, I think the changes will happen if you will respect the differences. But if you
right.
just come out trying to say, you know what, I like the shoes on the right side of the room instead of the left, you need to get them on the right side of the room. I'm sick of them being on the left. If you just respect the fact that they want to put them on the left, eventually they may say, you know what, he likes them on the right. I'll put them on the right today. And the change happened by you just respecting the difference.
Yeah.
I think that you just can't come at it. Like, I'm going to bull rush it. I'm going to just bulldozer it, and I can speak from experience on that, because you all heard me on this call sometimes, throw some things, and that has definitely come back to punch me in my face, and I'll be the first one to admit that, but I think that's literally it. That is that's one of the first things that my mother-in-law told my wife and I well before we were even thinking about getting married. We were just dating, and it was like, you got to respect each other's differences. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. You know, I was taking it in, you know, but that was one of the things that she shared, because I used to always try to probe married couples, you know, since my family wasn't married, my mother and dad, well, they were married, but they were divorced. And I didn't have that dynamic of two married people. And so I was always polling people about, you know, what does it take to be a healthy marriage? And that's one of the things that she said. That was literally the first thing that she said. You have to respect each other's differences.
Well,
that what I've gained is, yeah, if you want change to come, you just got to respect the differences, because then it becomes something where a person says, you know what, I'll give this a try. And the change happens just because you have impressed them on the change. When you press them, then that's not going to happen.
So are you saying that one or both parties should keep quiet about their dissatisfaction?
Well, see, that's like, here's the thing. When you try and change someone, you cause resentment.
Yep. I've been punched in the face with that, fellas. I will go ahead and admit that.
You cause resentment. So, I mean, whether you're trying to change them for the better, it may be something they're doing that they say, well, I need to try and change.
Mm.
And you fussing and fighting with them trying to get them to change it, the more you fuss and fight with them to try and get them to change it, the less they're going to want to change it.
Say that, brother.
Yeah, it has to be on their accord. You can't change them.
I mean, because I'm going to tell you, like you said, when I was out there drunken and cooler brown, as long as my wife hassled me about stopping drinking, I kept doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead,
and it wasn't until she stopped and left me alone that I was able to quit.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of the fellas. You can't, you know, it's got to be on that person's accord. They have to make that change. You know, it's nothing that you can do. That's why they say don't even try. I mean, because there's nothing that you're going to do is going to change that person. Can people make changes? Absolutely. But they have to make that change. And a lot of times, like the brother was just saying, we get in the way of that by trying to force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line, we shouldn't attempt to force our wives to be someone that she's not. But on the other hand, fellas, should she force you to be something that you're not?
Well, they're going to try. And you would hope that you would be able to essentially have that lines of communication where you had that mutual agreement. Because my mother-in-law now, when she said that, we were both there. So that's definitely one of the things that we can always reflect back to. And missing me trying to, at different points, bulldoze and change my wife in certain areas, she would remind me of that. You do remember my mother saying that, right? And then I remember. You know, but it is one of those things that, you know, yeah, they will try to change you. That will happen.
Well, speaking of change, I mean, can having marriage rules, can that truly help to build a lasting relationship? Can having marriage rules, can having some boundaries?
Yeah, but this is the way I would pose it. Rules sometimes make people feel like they're contained and there's parameters and I can't breathe and I can't do this and I can't do that. I'd like to say having some expectations, joint expectations, because at least that gives you a feeling of being able to maybe maximize the experience in this joint. When you say rules, I mean, anytime you think about rules, I mean, that's like law enforcement or something, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like when people pull out rules, I mean, there's certain words that just trigger not positive thoughts.
So you're saying that some you're saying that some marriage rules can actually be damaging to your relationship.
Yeah, and just the term rules in general. I mean, rules? I mean, when you give somebody some rules, it's almost like somebody is ruling. Now, is that a joint rule, or is that just one person? But when you say, hey, you know, let's have some expectations as to what we're thinking about, and it's joint, I mean, that term is just a little bit better.
Yeah.
And that's why people, before they get married, should consider definitive compromise before they make the vows.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
Yeah,
you can avoid all of that if it's talking about forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Before any of it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we touched on that in a couple other calls before. You know, if a person is relayed and you talked about some things and then you get into it and they try to change it or flip it and you're like, wait a minute. We talked about what our expectations were and where we were moving together as a couple. And now you trying to change it up or, you know, really inflict your own rule on this or your way, that's not cool.
Yeah, but I mean, along that note, P, and this is my final question, fellas, before we go into open mic. Are the happiest couples those who dare to break those old conventional rules? The happiest couples are those who dare to break the old conventional rules. And this is what we were talking about. These are old conventional rules passed down from generation to generation. So are the happiest couples those who dare to break these old rules?
I would say that it all depends on the couples and individuals.
Right.
I mean, you look at, like, Mormons, you look at the Amish, some of that stuff has been going on for a long time, and they're just fine.
Well, you know, back in the day, the Amish didn't have electricity. Now they're driving up down the roads in buses, and they got electricity on the farms, and things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change takes place.
Right.
It's just...
But I'm not just talking about progression with regards to worldly possessions. I'm talking about with the way that they interact in a marriage, because some of their traditional marriage stuff, that stuff hasn't changed. Now, yeah, they might have lights and they're building fireplaces now and selling them and all that. Yeah, okay. That's not, you know, with regards to being in the home and husband and wife expectations, marriage expectations, and husband and wife roles and things of that capacity. That stuff is still the same. At least it appears to be, because, I mean, and even when you think about, like, Native American communities, I mean, some of the stuff and the way that expectations are with roles and, I mean, that stuff has not changed. And if you try to come in with outside force and make them adjust to more worldly ways of marriage and husband and wife roles, man, they will fight you tooth and nail.
Well,
I agree with you on this. Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know,
women didn't go out and make the same amount of money that I do either.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't know if you can say the happiest are those that are. I mean, the happiest is just based off of the dynamics. I think the happiest couples
right.
that communicate.
Right. Yeah. I think the whole that's the major thing is communication, because
that's
you
it.
May have a couple that communicates well and still stands by the old traditional rules that were passed down to them.
Exactly.
And
they have
another group of them that don't have that communication, and those rules just don't work.
Right.
They've got to find new ways to operate.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, here's the bottom line, fellas. With all the conventional wisdom that's supposed to keep couples happy, forget about it. The real way to make love last is to make your own rules.
Yeah.
It's important to understand the source of a marriage rule and the supporting research before putting that rule into practice in your relationship. The key to solving problems in a way that works for your marriage. That's the key, fellas. And some may say that it may seem arrogant to think that you can make your own rules, but you're not making new rules for everybody else. You're just making them for you in your relationship.
And in this country, that's still legal within the home.
Amen, brother. And that concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show brought to you by the Head of Household. But don't go nowhere. We got open mic coming up after this. But we hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you all for hanging out with us tonight. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place. And the next topic will be... Are you a real-life victim of a marriage scam, true love, or marriage fraud? Wow, that's going to be good. For more information, please, please feel free to visit our new and improved website, www.householdstress.com. Again, that website, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.